First off, when I first gave this message, I had a title for it, Let My Inside Out. I was praying with another gal from our church, and we were praying outside, and God just gave that to me, that I had a lot of insight in my testimony that I needed to just share with other women. So that was my title. So then God and I have been wrestling all summer with, what's my title this time? So then I went on the surrender subject and looked at that, and I'm like, okay, I can see my surrender here and my testimony, my surrender there. So maybe it's my long journey of surrender. Thought that was a good title. But God said last night, nope, that's not the one I had for you. So after Sharon had asked me to do this Bible study, I was up in Truckee enjoying my campground and stuff. And when I'm up there, I do a lot of reading during the summer. So I was reading the book Candle in the Darkness by Lynn Austin. And it was a book about a young Southern gal during the Civil War and her perspective on the war and slavery. And as I'm reading the book, the following scripture from the book of Esther is quoted. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And as I read this, God just spoke to me. And he said that I've given you this testimony for such a time as this. And ladies, each one of us has been appointed by God to be at this retreat for such a time as this. So my title is, for such a time as this. I said, okay, God. And you'd think that that paragraph would just come together so easily, but we worked on this for a good hour and a half last night, you know? Well, I'm not a writer, I'm an accountant, right? So if you need me to add anything, bring it up. Okay, so where to begin? So now we have 60 years to cover, so I hope you gals aren't tired tonight. We're going to be here for a while. So I like to begin at the beginning. So I was the third little girl born to my parents in 2.5 years. Now, little is not really the truth, because I was a 10-pound breech baby girl. So, and my mom, they didn't take me cesarean, so she had to deliver me. So I'm sure I was a pain. Yes. And I'm down here, lost a bit. So I always say that it's not my fault that I'm the way I am, because I was not loved right from the beginning. Now, that wasn't true, but, you know, having that terrible birth and everything and being the third little girl, she still had one at home that scooted on her butt. So here I am, this big thing. And she always told me, she always said, you came out ass backwards and you've been that way ever since. So, so when I get lost up here, that's my problem, okay? Can I just scoot this back?
Sure.
Okay, but it was just kind of like right here, and I'm trying to get in here, so, okay. So you can hear me, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I had a good child. I was born in Roseville, and then I moved to Truckee. What a great place to give your testimony, huh? And we moved up here when I was 4, and we lived here until I was 13. And Truckee was a really small town when I lived up there. That was before Highway 80 was built. That was before they had a grocery store. We lived there when the Squaw Valley Olympics were there. So, you know, it's a long time. I'm kind of old. I said 60 years, right? So, and then when I was 13, we moved from Truckee down to Yuba City. Yeah, we moved from heaven to hell overnight. We moved in the month of July, the hottest time of the year. You know, you go from no air conditioning up here needed, and you go down there, and my parents bought a house with one of those wall units in the living room. I was in the bedroom clear down the hall, around the corner, and down. So we were dying, you know. I was raised Catholic, and as far back as I can remember, I knew there was a God, but never developed a personal relationship with God. I went to church. I made my sacraments because I had to, not because I wanted to. And I can remember that making the sacrament of confirmation, which is sometimes called the sacrament of Christian maturity, and standing there before the bishop and in my inside voice saying to God, This is not my choice. This is my parents'. So now I'm just going to skip forward because we got to get through some of this. I just wanted to give you a little background. On a February night, when I was 17, my life took a major detour. And I was walking across the parking lot into Grant's department store when a man approached me with a knife and forced me back into my car. He sat next to me with that knife at my side and had me drive him out of town into the countryside. And once we were out of town, I drove around while he fondled me for 2 hours. And then he had me pull over and he raped me. And I just remember being so frightened and, where's the Kleenex? I can't see. And just so scared. And I was hoping that he only wanted a ride out of town in the beginning. I was just so naive. And my sister was getting married 2 days later. And we were having a small family wedding at my parents' house, and I was doing the flowers for a wedding. And so here I am, I'm just pleading with this man to just please let me go. I was taking a flower arranging class in high school. So we had all the flowers ordered in, and I was doing all of that. And I'm just like, you know, I've got to do my sister's flowers for her wedding, you know, as if that would make a difference. And it didn't. I got smart-mouthed and very argumentative. And I don't know where all that came from. I've never been that way, but the way I was talking to him was just not me. But it just all came up inside of me, and that's what happened. And I even told him at one point to just go ahead and kill me since he'd already ruined me. And I clearly know now that no one knows what they would do in a situation like this until they're there. You just don't know what God's going to give you during that time. The one thing that I did not do is I did not look at this man when he came at me once we got into the car. I saw him coming at me in the parking lot, but I never looked at him once we got in the car. And I consider that my gift from God, and I'll explain that later. So he finally decided to let me go, but said I could not tell anyone what had happened. And I told him that I couldn't do that. I couldn't act like nothing happened. You know, I was like, look at me, I was a mess. And so we spent some time coming up with a false description to give the police. And he took down my family's address from the registration in the car and threatened to kill my whole family if I came forward with this and gave out, and he got arrested. So once we had done all of that, then he got out of the car and I drove home. So when I got home, my parents called the police, and I was taken to the emergency room and met there by our family doctor, who happened to be a family friend. And I was sticking to telling the police all the fake identity, because I was so scared inside. I just knew that this man would do what he had promised, and he would come back and kill my family. And then I heard the doctor say, I am sure she is telling you everything she can, as she would not want this to happen to any other young lady. Well, my conscience or my drugs or whatever kicked in, and so I finally started to tell the truth. And they did arrest this man a few days later. But during that time, Juan Corona was the big case up in Truckee at all, or up in, down in Yuba City. We're down in the valley, we're not up in the mountain. And, you know, I think that was just such a big case, and that all broke about the same time. So the DA was just really busy on that case. There was all those bodies of the farm workers and everything. I don't know if you guys remember. But, so about a year and a half later, they finally pled this guy out, and he got 3 years. And he never once served any time in state penitentiary. So this was my life-changing event in my life. I ended up graduating mid-semester my senior year of high school. I was no longer that innocent teenager enjoying my last year of high school. I went to work full-time, and I did what I had been taught. by my parents to just stuff down all my emotions, pull up my britches, and just get on with life. We didn't talk about things. You know, my dad always had a saying, I can't, never did nothing. And that became my motto. I was not going to let this defeat me. But yet I just didn't know how to deal with it. So I don't know how I felt about God at this time in my life, since I really did not have a personal relationship with him. As time went on, I remember friends saying, God knows everything, and that he has a plan for us, and that he knows everything that happens, and I just could not accept that. I would just get so angry inside when I would hear that. And I would tell them that I chose to believe that my God had to have been busy and was looking somewhere else. That he, you know, when my rape occurred, that I could not understand, if he was supposed to be such a loving God, how he could have allowed that to happen to me. And if that was really the truth, then I didn't want to know him. So I just went through like the next 20 years of my life just telling myself that, in order so that I could still believe that there still was a God. I still wanted to believe, but I had to tell myself he was busy. Then, skipping forward, because we can't stay up all night, it's a quiet time coming. So, in 1995, I did the Way Down Bible study with a friend of mine. And I did it with her and her sisters and a couple friends. There was maybe five of us. And it was the first Bible study I ever did. I think it was the first time I ever read out of the Bible. And it taught me how to journal and how to pour my heart out to God. And I lost 30 pounds. I found them again, plus, but, you know, we're ready to do it again, right, Kim? I know you're here. But more importantly, I began my personal relationship with Jesus. My surrender began. I started to understand what my friends had been telling me before, but refused to believe. I still wanted to believe God was busy, but the process was starting. I was starting to get it. I then made a vow with God, and I mean, I made a vow. I said I was going to learn his word, and I took the big step, and I started Women's Bible Fellowship at Warehouse Ministries. And that first year, I remember, I told him, I said, I'm going to go through the whole year. I'm not going to drop out, no matter how uncomfortable I am. I'm going to go. I never prayed out loud before this. I didn't. I just, you know, that just wasn't me. That wasn't what we did. So to take that step and go there, and I knew nobody. I knew nobody at Warehouse in that way. But I went to that Bible study, and I was welcomed in. And I was very uncomfortable that first Bible study with myself. So I never really connected with the group. So I had to remake that vow for the next year with God, that I was going to go and I was going to learn his word. And the next year, everything just turned around, and I've been at Women's Bible Study ever since. It's just been my refuge. The Lord met me there, and he continued to reveal himself to me each and every year there at Women's Bible Study, and just through teaching and through fellowship with others, fellowship here. I love coming to your guys's retreat. I try to come every year. And the following are some of the scriptures that have ministered to me as I've gone through my surrendering process. And these are scriptures that I have clung to and just speak to me as I drew closer to Jesus. And the first one is Jeremiah 29:11, which I'm sure all of you can repeat with me. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And another one was Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this last one is one that I just really still have to cling to. And it's Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So I came to understand that God had given me a present, a little jewel, that awful night, by not having me look at this man that raped me, except for when he was coming near me in the parking lot. I could never understand why I didn't look at him. We were together for 3 hours. I believe in my heart that was God's way of making this bearable for me. I would have enough of a memory to identify this person, but I would not have enough to carry the vision of what my perpetrator looked like for the rest of my life. If you asked me today to describe him, I couldn't. God was with me even though I did not realize it at the time. He gave me what I needed to survive and go on. So then, skipping forward again, 2 years ago I went to a retreat with Warehouse Christian Ministries. And this is my wow moment, is that it? Aha moment, okay. So I went to this retreat, and through the teaching, my eyes were opened wide. The speaker was teaching on some of the different names of God, and when he got to the story of Sarah and Hagar, it became my personal message from God. Sarah had given her maidservant Hagar to her husband Abram, so they could obtain children through her. And Abram obliged, and Hagar conceived. And Sarah abuses Hagar, and Hagar flees. The angel of the Lord appears to Hagar and tells her to return to her ministries. And then in Genesis 16:11-13, and the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man, his hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." Then she, Hagar, called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees." For she said, "Have I also here seen him who sees me?" Then 14 years later, Sarah gave birth to Isaac and told Abraham to cast out Hagar and her son. And after talking to the Lord, he cast them out in the wilderness with bread and one skin of water. And after the water ran out, she placed the boy under the bush and went a distance away so she would not have to watch her son die. And picking up the story in Genesis 21:17. And God heard the voice of the lad. And then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, "What ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. Hagar's God was Yahweh Roi. You are the God who sees. My God is Yahweh Roi. He is God who sees. He is my personal God who sees. Boy, was I wrong. For all those years that I went around saying he was busy and looking the other way, he just made everything so clear right there. He was there. He was with me. He saw me. He was right in that car with me. The whole time he was there. And it hurt him more than it hurt me. And he has cried every tear and is crying every tear still right here with me. And I know that. And I instantly that day I just felt like so much was lifted off of my heart. I know, I danced around, I told everybody, I got my message. And until I gave my testimony, people didn't understand what my message was. So God is so good. Let me see. And you know, I don't know how many times I read and I heard Hagar's story and I've studied on it, but that day he came, God came, and he gave me my personal message. He gave me my aha moment right then. And ladies, when that happens to you here, you're going to run to that board to write down your aha moment. So, the aha thing came in, but so God does not give up on us. That was my message, you know. He keeps revealing himself in his ways over and over and over and over and over to us until we get it. He waits patiently for us to surrender. If you are struggling with something you do not understand, he will reveal it to you in his perfect timing. So now I'm just going to close with a couple more scriptures that the Lord has shared with me since the time that I prepared all of my testimony before. And the first one is Proverbs 3:5. Lean on me, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. And then this one is one of my favorites, and this one he gave me the first time I did this preparation. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you, God. I want to thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to turn something so wicked and so evil into something for good, for the good of your purpose, Jesus. So, Lord, I just pray that this testimony has spoken to the hearts of these women, Lord, and that they can take this and tuck this in their heart. And just remember it, Lord. Remember it as a victory, God. A victory for you, Lord. So, Lord, I just thank you again for this opportunity to share my testimony. In Jesus' name.